once again to another stateside edition of the Recency Bias, a Montreal Bias production, a Rabbit Habs production. In case you haven't realized it, this is not Zach Van Oss once again. This is Ian Boisvert, deputy editor of Rabbit Habs magazine. And Zach Van Oss is fake news. I couldn't believe it myself, but he very clearly said and thought that the Canadiens' next game was Tuesday night instead of Monday night. So I just couldn't believe it. So that's the sort of publication Rabbit Habs is going to have the perception of now for the foreseeable future. So thanks for that, Zach. But yes, the Canadiens were in action Monday night against the Florida Panthers in Sunrise, a game they won by a score of 4-1. And yes, that does mean they did indeed clinch the Atlantic Division. And they will, considering they can't catch any of the teams that can still win the Eastern Conference, any of the three-headed monster from the Metropolitan Division, they'll most likely play the New York Rangers in the first round. I think this all but solidified that. There's potentially a chance it doesn't happen, but I wouldn't hold your breath. But we'll get to the playoffs when we get there. First, we need to unpack this game a little bit. Obviously, the surprise before the game started was that Shea Weber wouldn't play for the next two games and that he would, in fact, have been sent home. Something that I don't think you should be too concerned about. I think he would have played in this game and the next game against Buffalo had the Canadiens not had a 7-point advantage on the next closest team, which entering play on Monday night was the Boston Bruins, because the Ottawa Senators have sort of fallen off a cliff as of late. So Shea Weber didn't play. We'll get to how the Canadiens fared without him in a little bit, but let's, you know, just start to break this down by period. First period, Canadiens looked like they were ready to play. Something that Claude Julien's team, Claude Julien's Canadiens have done very well is they come out ready to play every night. They outshot Florida in the first 11-7. Just a good start all around. Obviously, Florida doesn't have much to play for. And the Canadiens struck first. A 1-0 goal from Andrew Shaw. Assist from Galchenyuk and Lekkonen. That's Galchenyuk's 27th assist. Shaw's 12th goal of the season. And I think Galchenyuk intentionally plays the plays a shot off of Red Obera's pad to create a play in the slot. Galchenyuk came around the back of the net, had a really tight angle, saw that Red Obera's pad was already down, and slammed it off of it in hopes that it would careen into the slot, and it found Shaw. So I think it was intentional. We'll never know, really, but of course, Galchenyuk will probably say it was intentional. But at any rate, 1-0 Canadiens, end of the first period. Second period was a completely different period for them. I think the Canadiens looked really flat in the second period. And that's sort of, that's nothing new for this matchup between the Canadiens and Panthers. Going back to last week, I remember Montreal came out flying in the first, and then the second period they were very flat, and they were very fortunate to only give up one goal. I think the same can be said for the second period. They weren't ready to play. They were outshot 15-6, and ultimately the Panthers tied it up. Jonathan Marchessault's 30th of the season from Michael Scarboza and Mark Pisick ties the game at 1. And one thing that John Bartlett said on the Sportsnet broadcast was that Jonathan Marchessault is the first Panther since David Booth in 2009 to score 30 goals in a season. So that gives you a little indication of where that team has been over the last couple years. And on the play, it looked like, upon first glance, that there might have been a little goalie interference, but it's very obvious that Beaulieu hits Lindgren. Was he pushed a little bit? Maybe. But you see that play countless times in a game. Beaulieu needs to figure out how to stay on his feet there. But at any rate, it's 1-1, headed into the third. And the third period, all season, not just under Julian. But even under Therrien as well, the third period has been the Canadiens' period. Going into this game, they have 84 goals in the third period, which is by far their most productive period. They know how to put teams away when they're behind. They know how to come back, and that's something that's really grown under Julian, is their ability to come back in games in the third period. And a third period goal explosion really is fueled by Arturi Lehkonen, who on his first goal, I've argued this, you know, since probably the midway point of the season, there's one player on the team has a better release than Arturi Lehkonen, and that's Max Pacioretty. I mean, if you look at the first goal that Arturi Lehkonen scored in this game, he steals it from the Panther defenseman and then wastes no time and just rips it top shelf. I mean, it gets off his stick in a hurry. There's really not a whole lot a goaltender, a defenseman can do there. If he starts to create some more space for himself, he's going to be a very dangerous player. That goal was his 15th of the season. It came unassisted, as obviously he stole the puck before beating Red O'Bara high over the glove side. And then he made it 3-1, his 16th of the season. Paul Byron comes in on a breakaway, puts on a little move and missed low to the stick side. Jason York, you know, for all the crap we give him on Habs Twitter for his broadcast, he made a good point. The puck bounced off the wall perfectly. It laid flat for Lehkonen, and he leaned into it. Not a whole lot Barra could do there. And it's funny, even when Paul Byron isn't scoring on breakaways, good things are still happening. So good news for Lehkonen. He's getting hot at the right time. And it seems like everyone on the team is getting hot at this point in the season. And a 4-1 empty netter from Alexander Radulov, his 18th goal of the season. He looked, it's an understatement to say, I don't think we've ever seen him smile that large. But he looked pretty happy about that. I think he was surprised that Pacioretty passed him the puck. And that assist from Pacioretty is his 67th point of the season, which ties a career high for him. So that's a big point in his career, because a lot of these points are actually assists, not something that we would have seen from Pacioretty in the past. He's not really a passing playmaker. But at this point, I think he's willing to do anything to win. And when you've got a player, when you've got players around you like Alex Radulov and Phil Deneau, you need to keep that up in order to keep going. So great game from that first line as well. I thought Radulov and Pacioretty were creating the whole night. Deneau had a fight. Carey Price loved that. Gave him a pat on the butt as he walked by and didn't stop smiling until I think the period was over. But obviously one of the big things heading into this game, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier, was Weber being absent this game due to a lower body injury that's been nagging him for a little bit, I guess. I think they looked okay without him. If they missed him anywhere, it was on the power play. Not for his game-breaking ability, maybe for his shot, but if you watched Bolya handle that power play with Markov, it's somewhat concerning. If anything were to happen to Weber, the power play, I think, would considerably end for the Canadiens, because Bolya did not look very good out there on the power play. He was very erratic. He makes a lot of very short-sighted decisions with the puck at the blue line, when the puck's on his stick anyway. I know Bolya is very... One of the things Bolya is very good at is holding the puck in at the blue line when an opponent's trying to clear it. But I find that when he has the puck on his stick and he's around the blue line, you saw it earlier in the game too, he kind of just floated a soft backhand to his partner, Emelin, on the other side, and it was easily picked off by the Panthers' defense. Bolya's, at this point in the season, it seems he's trading good games for bad games. And I'm not saying tonight was a necessarily bad game, but it wasn't the game breaker that we saw against Tampa. He was excellent against Tampa Bay. I think he's been excellent for the greater part of a week or two now. But tonight seemed to be a little bit of maybe a sideways step or a step behind, when you know he's going to get more minutes due to top defensemen due to Weber not playing in this game. You know he's going to get a higher power play minute, higher power play minutes. Maybe they're trying to see if him and Markov have something. Obviously, he's not the plan long term for this for the rest of the season, but still, it would have been nice to see him kind of grab the reins there and run with it. And so Charlie Lindgren in this game picks up his second win of his NHL career in as many tries. He looked solid. Didn't look nervous. I think occasionally he might have been a little too aggressive on some high-quality scoring chances for the Panthers. He kind of flew out of his crease a little bit. The term with Carey Price that we heard during his most recent struggle was that he seemed untethered. And that seemed to be a little bit of it with Lindgren. Not to the point where it was detrimental, but you could tell he's a young goaltender who's going to find his way eventually. But he did kind of slide out of the crease a little bit too much at points. But I think he looked solid. I didn't think he had to make a show-stopping save, but there were a lot of tough ones that handcuffed him up top. He's a tall goaltender, but he's lanky. He's not. He doesn't have the muscle mass of, say, a Ben Bishop or, you know, someone else of that stature. But I thought he was excellent. And in his two games in the NHL, he's given up 3 goals on 60 shots, which is good for a .950 save percentage. I don't know what the plans are next year for the goaltending. I know that Al Montoya has signed an extension, really, to just so the Canadians have a goaltender that's expansion draft eligible, because you need to expose a goaltender, and that's who Al Montoya is going to be. But I wonder if they give him a long look when the season starts next year, to see if he can grab the reins and become the backup, or if they think that, you know, he's better off playing 55, 60 games in St. John's and being, or it won't be St. John's next year, it'll be Laval. But if he's better off playing a large quantity of games in the American League as opposed to backing up Carey Price, playing maybe 20 games, I don't know. But I think the Canadians have here what the Rangers had in Cam Talbot a few years ago. Now, mind you, I think Charlie Lindgren's a little bit younger than Cam Talbot was when the Rangers could have moved him for a King's ransom, and I think they failed mostly on that part. But I think that down the stretch, if, you know, into the next few seasons, if Lindgren starts to grow that resume a little bit with NHL play, he could become the sort of trade bait that the Canadians wanted Zachary Fucali to be before Fucali. I don't know if he's fallen off a cliff, but goaltending development's just odd. I don't think you should pick a goaltender very high. I think he was one of the first 3 selections in the second round. I think they picked him too high. But I think that Lindgren is going to be that piece that Montreal can use to acquire an impact player down the road. But in the now, he looks great in a Canadiens uniform. I would have no concerns with him being a backup goaltender for a short period of time. Obviously, if Montoya's injury continues into the playoffs, Lindgren won't see any ice time anyway. But it was nice to see him play in a meaningful NHL game when he played last time. It was a sort of just a nice little gesture for him as the Canadiens plummeted down the Eastern Conference standings. So nice for Lindgren, nice for the Canadiens. They lock up first in the Atlantic after missing the playoffs last year. That's a huge improvement, obviously. The team's starting to click. Lines are getting hot. What else is there to play for this season? I guess just getting yourself ready for the playoffs. That's what all the players will say. I expect a lot of guys to get rested. Maybe Radulov. He's had some injury problems, some nagging stuff that he sat out for in the past. I expect Price to get a couple more games off. We don't know who's going to start in net on Wednesday in Buffalo, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Claude Julien start to use this time to rest some of his top guys. On defense, maybe once Weber comes back, Markov takes a night off. That sort of rotation, as Claude Julien likes it. So next game is Wednesday night in Buffalo. Once again, the Montreal Canadiens have defeated the Florida Panthers by a score of 4-1. Thanks for listening. Give us a follow at Rabbit Habs on Twitter. You can follow this podcast at the Montreal Bias on Twitter. Subscribe on iTunes. Tell all your friends. Go ahead and retweet us. You can follow me at Boisvert Ian on Twitter. And if you want fake news, you can follow at Zach Drops Tweets. I'm sure he'll be spewing out some more fake news over the next few days. So you got that to look forward to. All right, I'm going to get out of here. Enjoy the rest of your day. Go watch some baseball. All right, take care.